Hello, I'm Andrew Cord, and this is our study series through Fact or Fiction. We now enter into section two, God Exists, Fact or Fiction. And this is study 2.5. If there is a God, it changes everything, fact or fiction. Our conversation points include this. I would like to make a lot of money so that I can do something good with it. Agree or disagree? Second one. I have a set of life goals that will be easy for me to achieve. Agree or disagree? Hopefully that'll get some discussion too about whether life goals are meant to be easy. Anyway, third one. I have one annoying habit I would really like to change. Boy, good for you, only having one, man. Anyway, let's see if people say agree or disagree, and maybe someone will agree, maybe someone will disagree, and as group leader, your mission is to find out the responses, agree or disagree, for each of these to see where people land on it. And it's simply to get discussion going. Here's the reflection. Sean's father, Josh, had become an internationally renowned Christian apologist. Over 20 million copies of his books had been sold, with one of them regarded as one of the most influential Christian books of all time. While his father travelled the world speaking to large gatherings about the evidences for God, the truthfulness of the Bible and Christianity at home, there was a problem. Sean was now a teenager and he was in turmoil. But how could he tell his father that he was now struggling to believe what his father had told tens of millions of people around the world what they should believe? There's a problem. I hope you can see the problem. Sean was torn. If he announced that he did not believe that God, the Bible, or Christianity was true, how could he face his father with the enormous shame he would bring him? But the turmoil became too great for Sean. One night at dinner when his dad was home and not away on a speaking tour of American universities, he asked his father if he could speak openly. Now, by this stage, I think Sean was either mid-teens or early teens. His dad said, "Sure, son," his dad replied. "I don't know if I believe what you believe, Dad," Sean announced. What happened next stunned Sean. "That's great, Sean. I know that you'll have to go on your own journey of discovery of the truth," Josh told his son. And with that, Sean did embark on his own journey of investigation to decide for himself what was true and what he should believe. Without any pressure from his dad, Sean studied other religions and philosophies and even the claims of atheists. Over time, he found that the claims of other religions were often illogical, inconsistent, unverifiable, incompatible with science and the historical record, and contradictory. On the other hand, and perhaps to his surprise, he found that the claims of Christianity, grounded as they were in the Bible, were logical, consistent, verifiable, compatible with science and the historical record, and while seemingly paradoxical, were not contradictory. Paradoxical is when you have a tension of ideas. Is water wet or is it solid? Well, yes. It's not a contradiction, it's a paradox. All right. Sean discovered for himself that the central claims of Christianity and its ancient creeds, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth lived, died, was resurrected, ascended back to the Father, and sent the Holy Spirit to abide with all who turned to him as Saviour, was not only verifiable historically, but was also experientially transformative. In the years that followed, Sean asked his dad if they could, together, revise one of his father's earliest books, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. This was published in 2017. Today, Sean McDowell, PhD, is an associate professor of apologetics at Biola University in Los Angeles. By the way, it was when he was actually reading online critics of his dad's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, that rocked his own world. He wasn't previously aware that there were people who disagreed with his dad. Oh, interesting point. Here's a reflection question. Truth does not seem to mind being scrutinised. In fact, scrutiny, investigating whether something is true or not, seems to be invited by truth claims and discouraged by false claims. What might Sean McDowell had been obliged to do if his scrutiny of Christianity proved to be false? All right, so what would he have done if he had proved that it was false? Well, hopefully someone is going to say he would be obliged to renounce Christianity. That would be a reasonable response. But he didn't. And I guess the question is, why didn't he have to do that? What was it about his search, his scrutiny of Christianity that led him to believe that it was indeed true? Because he did come up with some pretty solid reasons that led him to become, after all, an associate professor of apologetics. And so it's an interesting journey. You can see Sean McDowell on YouTube. He's got a lot of great YouTube clips as well. Here's a quote from his dad's book that he helped to revise with his dad. "My ultimate problem wasn't intellectual. It was emotional. I had bitterness and hatred for my father because he was an alcoholic and destroyed my family. In addition, the sexual abuse I experienced for 7 years by Wayne Bailey just compounded the hurt. Given my father's failures, it brought me no joy to hear that a heavenly father supposedly loved me. Every time someone mentioned a heavenly father, it didn't bring joy, it brought pain." And that's from page 23 of the newly revised book. The relationship between whether someone holds a true view about God or not and how they then understand their own life. Does it make any difference what someone believes about God? It was Augustine who said that all people have a God-shaped hole in their heart that people try to fill with things that just cannot fill it. He concluded in his book, Confessions, that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, speaking of you being God. This God-shaped hole leads all people to be, and here's one of the blanks that you've got to fill in, the word is religious, in one way or another. Even those who claim not to be religious. Religious fervour about things other than God is evident everywhere. Political causes, environmentalism, professional sport, entertainment, and so on. But it also can be seen in those professing religious beliefs about their God that leads to what can be labelled as religious fundamentalism. And this is often the label that the media puts on those religious people who are violent to the point of killing others. Let's put it that way. All right. In some parts of the world, this leads to military conflict and death to anyone who disagrees with their particular beliefs. At the core of these flagrant disregarding for human life, this is going to examine what's behind this, what's at the heart of it. So at the core of this flagrant disregarding for human life is a false concept about God, a false concept of God. Just as all human beings are defined, it's one of the things that defines us, that we are religious. Just as all human beings are religious, all human beings worship. It is one of the things that defines what it means to be human. So zoologists, people who study animals, including humans, have pointed out that it's only in the animal kingdom rather than the human world that there is no worship. In other words, they point out that people intrinsically worship. Even if they're atheists, they'll get passionate about some of these causes, political causes, environmentalism. It's almost as if they have to be. They are religious. Human beings are religious by nature. All right. It has been said and observed that we become like what we, here's the blank, worship. The writer of 2 Kings denounced those who who had abandoned God and went after false gods. He wrote, "They went after false idols and became false." 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 15, which says, "They despised his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and the warnings that he gave them. They went after false idols and became false, and they followed the nations that were around them, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do," or should not be like them. There you go. Should not do like them. So you become like what you worship, and we see this. You can see people who worship a football team. You know, they've got the scarf, they've got the hat, they've got the beanie, they've got the bumper sticker, they've got the football jumper that they wear. Oh, man. But for the person who knows that God is both, here's the blank, loving and holy, who has created all people in his image, thus investing in all people with inherent dignity and here's worth to fill in the blank, and expects his worshippers to be loving and holy and to treat all people with love and here's the blank, respect. So does it make a difference if you have a right concept about God or if you believe there is no God? Absolutely. One of the things that's different is that if you live with a right concept about God, you have a sense that everything you do matters. And at the last day, referred to in the Gospel of John several times, there will be an accountability of how you have lived your life. All right, here's a second quote from Josh McDowell, the father of Sean. "Despite what people think, it wasn't the evidence that brought me to Christ. What brought me to Christ was an understanding of the love of God. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you.'" And it was when Josh realized that God was a God of love, his world changed. All right, let's dive into the Bible. From the Bible, in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, which says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him, and they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now this states something, and is it possible, that based on what it's saying, for all people to know the truth about God? How does this passage state that it is possible? Well, it does, doesn't it? It states that God's character and his power, the power that obviously it would have required to create, have been displayed for all to see by what he has created, the world around us. Creation is not God, but it reflects in some ways who the creator is. Super intelligent, all-powerful, omnipresent, that is present everywhere, beautiful, and artistic. These are some of the things we learn from looking at creation. Secondly, what does the Bible state that God has written on the hearts of all people? Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them." In other words, we all have a conscience that is pre-wired by our Creator to know the difference between right and wrong. Question 3. What difference does worshipping the true God make to an individual and then society as a whole? Consider how our society might be different if we each lived out Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. And then just have a discussion about this. What if society put this into practice? "But now, you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Well, have a think about that. Man, what kind of society would we be? We'd be a society that had less overflowing prisons. We'd be a society where husbands and wives reconciled, where they sorted their difficulties out. There'd be less homelessness because children wouldn't be forced out of broken homes. There'd be all these societal benefits that would flow at least in those arenas. And perhaps you can think of some more, and I definitely can. I can think of ways that women are sexually and physically abused that would decrease, and so on. So does it make a difference if society has an awareness of God? Absolutely it does. The additional references is the book that I mentioned earlier in this topical study, the book by Josh and Sean McDowell, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World. I highly recommend it. It's not a light read, but it's more of a reference book if you ever need answers. Well, I hope as group leader you go around the group and invite people to submit their prayer requests and have each one pray. I suggest if you have someone who maybe not even a Christian, they could say something like, God bless this group, you know, and just give them something to say, and that way everyone goes around the room. All right, I look forward to you jumping into section three. Section three will be Jesus Christ was a unique religious leader, fact or fiction, and we'll be looking at the first study in part three. Christ's life was predicted thousands of years before. Fact or fiction? That's what we're going to be looking at in our next installment of Fact or Fiction.